We are here to take refuge with the Supreme Lord, the Lord of Almighty Power, the Lord of Love, the Lord of Mercy, the Lord of Peace. Take refuge is to surrender. To surrender is to give the entirety of your consciousness, body, mind, heart, soul, to that Supreme Self. Nothing can remain separate and unsurrendered. Let your being belong totally, utterly, absolutely to the Supreme One. Until the merger is complete and the power of the Lord flows through the vehicle, of mind, of heart, of body, as a blessing to the world, of unshakable strength, love and light. Let no particle of ego mind remain. Sacrifice all into the fire of pure consciousness. Be in total wakefulness of spirit so that no subconscious elements of ego escape the sacrifice. Until every level of your being, causal, subtle, gross, are all filled totally and absolutely with the Supreme Presence. And no separate ego remains, even as a memory. Be filled with the power of Arunachala Shiva. Be the embodiment of the mountain of God.
Shiva, Paramashiva, Parameshwar, Parabrahman, Parashakti.
Om
Shiva. Nama.
We're reaching the darkest hours of the Walpurgisnacht. The whole system of holidays that are based on the arising of the dark forces, including that of Halloween, that have been commercialized and not taken seriously, are now a reality in the world. And because of the hegemony of the dark forces for this moment in time, those who are belonging to the Supreme Light, to the Lord of goodness and love and peace, must be at such a level of discernment and purification that you cannot be affected or influenced by those forces that would deceive and that would cause actions to take place that weaken you. The whole point of the black magic of the dark forces is to dishearten you, to drop you into some nihilistic state in which you feel hopeless and weak and helpless and unable to cope. And you feel overwhelmed by forces that destroy your own sense of integrity and connection to the Supreme Light. And this battle will increase day by day in the same way that the forces of destruction are increasing in the world at a geophysical level and a political level and a psychological level. And in order to be able to face all of these without being consumed by the darkness or destroyed, one must have been totally surrendered to the Lord of Light, the Lord of Almighty Power. And that surrender means there is no separate particle of ego remaining. That's that little fingernail that Sita put outside the magic circle and then could be stolen by Ravana. The surrender to Rama, to the Lord, must be complete. So I opened at random, quote-unquote, this last night, and I thought it was worth sharing from an old copy of the Talks of Ramana. This is from the 25th of September, 1938, number 517. There was some reference to two shlokas in Yoga Vasishta. Apparently, the disciples were talking amongst themselves in the hall, and they were referring to these two shlokas where spiritism in Mlecha Desha is mentioned, the dark side, right? Mr. MacIver said that black magic is more prevalent in the West than is ordinarily known to the observer. The writer then remembered how Mr. Paul Brunton had once said that he actually feared a woman for her association with black magic. Sri Bhagavan asked if the gentleman had read Devi Kailotharam. He then said that the Abhichara Prayoga, which is the word for black magic, Prayoga is magic, is condemned there. He also added that such practices, by such practices, one compasses one's own ruin. In other words, there is a karmic blowback to the use of your consciousness for purposes of harm to another. Avidya, ignorance, is itself bad and can make one commit suicide. Why should black magic be also added to it? In other words, you have enough bad karma on your head just by being in ego consciousness, which itself is a sin and a destruction of your true nature. Why add to that the much more heavy karma of being one who practiced black magic? So before I go on, black magic is being practiced, and you could say in some ways that every ego practices it, because every time you have an angry thought or a negative projection on anyone, you're practicing black magic. And anytime, and that includes having a negative projection on yourself. And anytime you practice that, there will be karmic backlash. And so we are not allowed to use our minds as weapons in any way. Not weapons of fight nor of flight. But the only way that we can avoid being confused between what is black and what is gray or what is white, if one has no capacity to discern, one requires connection to the supreme truth, because the power of discernment only comes from that source. And otherwise, one will be motivated by impulses that arise from the dark side within, from the subconscious and the sensor. And one will be unable to know if one's impulse to flee or to fight or to do anything else is based on truth or is based on a paranoid fantasy that has literally possessed one and causes one to lose one's connection to God and to become embroiled ever deeper in the quicksand of Maya. And this is what is happening now in the world. And so, in a certain way, it's a great blessing, because it allows a culling of the herd, the weak ones, the ones who cannot stand the heat of being near the flame of God's purification, will go into the outer darkness of their own choice. And those who are strong will come closer to the light to gain even more power. But the only power is the light itself. And so being near it is not enough. One must become the flame, the eternal flame, or the darkness can blow out the candle. So, right now in the world, because of the genocidal activity that's taking place, there are many disembodied entities that are earthbound, very angry ghosts who don't understand why they were killed in such an unexpected and sudden way when they thought they were doing good and could not discern the deception that had taken over. And these spirits are at large on the earth plane, and they require a great deal of help to deal with their suffering. But they are also very frightened and very angry, and can also be, let's say, corralled by black magicians for other purposes. But the whole world has become a coven out there now of very dark forces. And so the strength of the powers of light must augment tremendously to be able to cope with the vibrational frequency of the waves of energy that are coming from those sources that can easily take over one's mind. So the disciple asks, what is the pratikriya, which means remedy, that is open to the victim of black magic? And Ramana answers, bhakti, devotion to God. Devotion to God, taking refuge with God, is the only way. And when you take refuge with God, if your heart is pure, and it's not taking refuge only out of fear, but if the devotion is accurate, you will feel the presence of angels that will come. And there are healing angels and there are warrior angels. And the right angels that are needed for the situation, you will find them guarding you. Okay, I remember when I first was in the therapeutic mode, and I was studying with a shaman who specialized in depossessing people of negative entities and in removing curses that had been put on people by covens of black witches and that sort of thing. And there are such. And when I was first studying with him, I took this very lightly and theoretically, and I thought, is this real? And then I began to work with him in situations where it was happening, and there was no doubt. Not only that, but soon I began to get clients who came to me because they were possessed by dark forces. And in one case, someone who was cursed by a very powerful dark coven, and I ended up being attacked by them as well for trying to help him. And I discovered then the reality of this on this plane. It's not something to take lightly or to joke with, and one needs to have some advanced understanding of how to deal with it if one ends up in a situation like that. But we are now approaching a time when the world is dealing with this kind of negative energy at large, and this will be increasing day by day. So the need for devotion is now at a much higher level of mahabhava that is required to create an energy field of light that is protective. So the disciple then says, non-resistance seems to be the only remedy for all kinds of evil such as slander. And Ramana says, quite so. If one abuses another or injures him, the remedy does not lie in retort or in resistance. Simply keep quiet. This quiet will bring peace to the injured, but make the offender restless until he will be driven to admit his error to the injured party. Now, there are cases where the one who is causing the injury with slander and lies may not admit that and apologize, but nonetheless the karmic backlash will be there if one does not accept the negative energies. If one takes them in and absorbs them, one will become very anxious and weakened, and then become subject to much greater attacks. But if one is in the purity of one's heart and one's goodness, those negative energies will bounce back, and they will have their own karmic result that will create a different panorama within the phenomenal plane that can no longer be controlled by the black magician. So Ramana goes on, the black magic is said to have been used even against the greatest saints in India since time immemorial. The tapasvis of the Dwaruka forest even used it against Shiva himself. Very famous story. So it's always the case that the forces of light will attract both those who want help and those who are envious and those who are fearful and those who are in states of confusion and suffering. And yogis must be adept at both shamanic knowledge and supreme knowledge. But the shamanic knowledge is not enough, and most shamans do not have interest in the supreme knowledge, and thus they end up often in battles amongst themselves. And neither of them have truly white magic, because that only comes from the surrender to the supreme. And it's only when you have the supreme knowledge that it is safe to enter into the field of shamanic activity. Until then, stay away from it, but surrender, be in a state of supreme bhakti. And if you do that, then those forces, whether they are external entities or dissociated ego fragments from your own subconscious, or even sanskaras from past lives, all of them can, in a sense, masquerade as attacking entities. But the fantasies that are created by the mind that cannot even discern whether something is an external entity or an internal energy must surrender to God as the only remedy. Until there is a complete clear viveka, a discernment between what is maya and what is real. Until that has happened, one is a prey to these kinds of forces that can feed on one and suck one's life energy and cause one to act in ways that are self-destructive. So be alert, be aware, because there are entities that come and go and visit the ashram. Some of them are very benign. Some of them are angelic and beyond in their levels of protection. But some of them are also negative. And they must be treated with love, but also with accurate dharmic power. And when we have that power, then we will never be subject to fear or anxiety or negative action or running away or a rejection of the good out of a paranoid fantasy in which we have topsy-turvy turned our moral compass in the wrong way and we end up running away from that which can actually save us. So the clarity of mind and heart that can only come from total surrender to God is our primary directive that must be achieved. And until it is, the ego is going to shake. And it will shake more and more in the coming days in an anxious mode of desperation for trying to find some kind of anchoring and satisfaction and peace that can't be found as the mind is caught in a maelstrom of negative thought forms. To avoid that hell realm, there must be total surrender to God. May you gain the peace that comes of such surrender of mind and heart to God that one receives the sword of truth and the shield of divine love and purity that protects against all dark forces. And may you receive the even deeper peace of the total and absolute fearlessness that comes of having surrendered all phenomenal plain desire that is not the yearning for God, so that one's heart, one's mind, and one's eye become single and whole and completely filled with the almighty power of God. And may one receive the grace of absolute peace, of realizing the self that is transcendent of the world and all of its changes as it hurtles toward its final apocalyptic denouement, and one can abide on the lotus throne of luminous love and offer blessings and help and salvation to those souls who seek the light and never be affected or shaken or moved by any force that is not the Supreme Self. And in this liberation, to achieve the ultimate blissful wisdom that comprehends and transforms all.